Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white.
Drink blue and light.
I brought Andy in.
Guy's got no voice, and Jimmy's asking him to cue up the Labatt. I love it.
Come on, you got to play hurt. There's a difference between injured and hurt. He's playing hurt, right, Andrew P?
I'm trying. I'm giving it my very best.
I'm Jim Galante. I am here with Andrew P. Shea, the sick one. I'm here with Bob Flounders, who is healthy as far as we know.
I'm not on a pitch count.
Okay, great. Ross Tucker is not here again this week. Don't worry, he will be back. Next week, I believe he'll be here.
Ross Tucker Show. He'll have 12 quarters pent up Penn State aggression to just unleash.
The plan is to just turn off the mic for you two guys, and we'll just unleash Ross. But in Ross's stead, we have our good buddy from Labatt Blue himself.
Yes.
From Drink Blue and Light fame, Mr. Kevin from Labatt. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. Is that why you think Andy actually chimed in with the Bleed Blue and White? Because he knew the sponsor's here. He's got to pick up.
Oh, no, he does it. Game. He does it every podcast.
Yeah. I listen. I'm a listener as well as a paycheck
pirate. I have to see whether the call is coming to do it.
I have to give Andy the cue. He doesn't know when I'm going to do it, so I keep him on his toes, Kevin. All right, we are going to have a full hour of Penn State football talk. We're going to start in quarter one with the news. Mostly it's going to be Pitt week kind of news.
100th meeting, that's might as well go all in on Pitt.
That's
you don't
exactly
know when we're going to see him again.
Well, maybe we will on a neutral field, but I'm getting ahead of myself there. Quarter number three, we're going to get our last takeaways from that Buffalo game. And then quarter number three, of course, it's not Ask Ross, it's Ask Andy
me.
And
ask Bob.
It's gonna be
Bob.
Ask me.
Okay, it'll be Ask Bob, and we'll see if Kevin has a question ready by then. And in quarter number four, we are going to preview Pitt. All right, let's start with the news of the day. As you mentioned, Bob, this is the 100th meeting, Penn State Pitt. A lot of talk about this being the last meeting. I'm going to start with a shameless plug. Those of you who don't know, we've added a new segment to our list on the Keystone Sports Network, and that is Andy's Insights, where Andy writes an article twice a week. And his most recent one, he had some talk about this Penn State Pitt series. So I'm going to ask him after I put in my two cents. I want to make this clear. As a fan, I hate Pitt. I hate losing to Pitt. I hate helping them out with their attendance. But with all that said, isn't that what rivalries are about? You're supposed to hate the team, and it feels so good to kick their ass. Andy, I know you don't feel the same way.
No, I think it feels like it's time for this game to end because the rivalry is now forced. Like, they don't really have a fan base. Their student section might hate Penn State, and Penn State longtime fans, you know, they were taught to hate Pitt. It was a learned behavior. But rivalries should feel natural. I don't think it's not an equal playing field. Conferences run college football. They're not in the same conference. You know, it's all about your conference. And neither school really wants the game anymore. You could tell.
I think Pitt really wants it because they want the attendance at a game.
Yeah.
Once they want more than 14 people showing up.
Well, it just feel, you know, so you hate Pitt as a fan, but there was never a hate for, it was a different kind of hate than the dislike that each team has for each other. I just don't feel there's much football respect. I don't think the leaders of each program care for each other as individuals. I don't think each school sees it as a good value proposition. I think they look at it distinctly different, and it feels forced. So if you have to force something, then what's the value of it? I just don't get it anymore. Even though growing up 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, well, I followed both of them, but I just it doesn't feel like the same game to me anymore.
Well, Unfortunately, we have another fan in the room with us. Kevin, I think I saw on social media where you stand, but let's hear.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the dispassionate analytical point of view on this and not the fan. All right, so the economics of modern college football are pretty simple. You have 9 Big Ten games a year. That's non-negotiable. So what does that leave? That leaves 3 out-of-conference games. All right, and so 5 of those 6 out of the course of every 2 years has to be at home. That's the economics of modern college football. So to do that, you can only have 1 home and away. By math, that's just simple math. 4 of those opponents have to be Buffalo, Akron, Idaho that come in just take the paycheck. So you got 1 home and away series. Do you want to dedicate that to Pitt every single year? No, of course not.
And that you're exactly right, Kevin. And that is the dispassionate view. But college football shouldn't be about dispassion. It should be about passion. Now, Bob, I'm going to turn to you on this. Does James Franklin have the answer to the issue? In his press conference, he brought up, how about a neutral site game?
I think James Franklin will do anything and put anything out there just as long as it doesn't look like he's trying to get rid of the game. And I just think he threw that in the air. I don't see that ever happening at all. I just think he wanted to not be associated with the guy that wanted to end the series. I agree with Jim on the fact that Pitt definitely wants to keep playing the game. I agree with Andy that the game is a little bit forced, and I would say it's definitely not a rivalry anymore. It's a rivalry when both teams kind of can play well. Pitt is not on the same level as Penn State, and I actually would say this. At the start of this series, it was up to Pat Narduzzi to get his program to the point where they would play competitive games. And I would be surprised if Saturday is going to be competitive. And one of the reasons why I think there's less and less interest is because the last 3 years, it really hasn't been much of a game.
No, it hasn't. And as a Penn State fan, I'm okay with that. Anyway, I'm going to go back to the point that Kevin made and the economics of this, which is the number of conference games, and obviously if Penn State were playing 8 conference games, it would give them 4 opportunities out of conference, easier to keep this going. And James Franklin, to his credit, I believe he keeps bringing up the inequity of this, because in the Southeast Conference and in the ACC, they only play 8 conference games as opposed to 9.
Yeah, excuse me, the conferences run college football, and they're held responsible for their own schools. And if the ACC and the SEC are doing a better job taking care of their schools based on the landscape of college football and only 4 teams making it to the playoffs, then shame on the Big Ten for forcing their teams into a bad spot compared to everybody else. If the NCAA, which doesn't have much jurisdiction over college football, isn't going to force all the Power 5 conferences to play 9 games, then why would the Big Ten go to 9 games? They only hurt themselves by making that decision, and they did it for television revenue so that they'd have another ACC, you know, another Big Ten game. And the SEC and the ACC were like, no, we're good. We're focused on the college football playoffs. So they hurt their own schools by forcing the 9th game for their own self-interest.
I'm just looking at it for equity in competition throughout the country, and I think even if the NCAA can't mandate, they could at least come out and say, hey guys, make it one or the other, 8 or 9, and do that all the way through. You are listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light and Kevin from Labatt. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light.
Let me just say real quick that having gone to the Pitt game last year, Heinz Field was a neutral field. That's the neutral field that we're talking about. By the end of the game, we were the only people left in that rainy stadium.
You mean the empty yellow seats didn't outnumber the Penn State fans? Well, that's good to hear. But speaking of drinking blue and light, that's what we're going to be doing together this weekend, aren't we, Kevin?
That's correct. I'm going to make it to my first game this year, my first of 2, and looking forward to drinking some beers with you.
Good deal. Anyway, moving forward, there were a couple other things that came up. I find it interesting, Bob, how Pat Narduzzi is treating this game, keeping his players from the media so they can focus. I'm sure that's going to have an effect on the end result. Whereas James Franklin still has a bit of that, we're just going to treat it like another game. Is there an advantage either way?
I think that James is on the right approach. I think that Pat Narduzzi gets wound a little too tight during Pittsburgh Penn State week. He made some strange decisions in the first half of last year's game that I think expedited their quick departure in the second half. I also think, see, James Franklin is a psychologist, and we can talk about this later. We can talk about it now, too. There's a reason he let the world know that they had to change all their signals after John Patrician, who was never going to play at Penn State, enrolled at Pitt through the transfer portal. I'm not quite sure what the psychology is there, but he's definitely not. He wasn't sending a message, I think, to the media. I think he was sending a message to college football at large, and he was also kind of rubbing Narduzzi's nose in it a little bit, that you need it, like every advantage you can probably get to try and stay with us. I really believe that.
Well, you got a little bit ahead of me, because I did want to ask about that in the context of, is there anything that would stop, just say, Joe Blow, who's the fourth string long snapper on Penn State, transferring to Pitt today?
Right.
And has all that kind of information. Is that something the NCAA should look at, Andy?
Well, I don't know if they have a different in-season or out-season process in terms of the portal. That I don't know, but you're not going to transfer today and play at Pitt on Saturday.
Well, he's not going to play for a couple weeks anyway.
But hypothetically, in the future,
the day before classes start, he can transfer.
Yeah, so that if that loophole exists, I'm sure you're going to see that probably close. But it's just interesting that James went out of his way in his Tuesday speech to bring that up. He did it for a reason, and we'll see how the game plays out.
And he has to change him because Patrician probably ran with the twos. And I mean, they had four to six.
He has to change him, but why did he let the world know that he had to change him?
That was going to be my question. It's obvious you have to change signals. I mean, that went without saying, but he still felt the need to say.
Wasn't asked.
Right. And I thought it was fascinating and interesting that he also said, we didn't change it just for this week. We changed it prior to the season, so everybody has even a couple games under their belt with the new season. And I never gave it a thought that he was sending some signals.
I think he is. I'm sure that he's playing with Narduzzi a little bit, and he's just – James doesn't do any. He does everything for a reason. He said he's very, very. He has a plan for everything. He very rarely is caught off guard. And for him to announce that, he's definitely sending a message to someone other than us.
I found that very fascinating. All right, that concludes quarter number one of our show. Stay tuned for quarter number two, and we're going to take one last look back at Buffalo and see what Bob and Andy have as their takeaways from that game.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.